Okay, we're going to continue about our introduction to the Melachos of Shabbos. Again, this is just to give you some background before we get into the first Melacha. I think the first Melacha we're going to do is Bishul cooking, but before that we need some preliminary topics. So we're going to do Melacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa tonight and Davar Sheina Miskave. That's on page 259, source 19. The Mishnah in Shabbos, source 19. Mishnah and Shabbos, Perek Yod, Mishnah Hey. So the Mishnah says, Hamotzi es hames, bamita chayav. So if you carry out a corpse in a coffin, then you are liable. V'chein, and similarly, kizayas bin hames, if a certain size of a dead body, if you carry it, v'kizayas bin hanavela, and a kazayas of anything, a dead animal, v'chadasha b'dasheret, the size of a bean from a sheret, you're chayav, you're liable, and Rabbi Shimon poter. So we have this debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, or we don't know, the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it doesn't say, but that's the first opinion of the Mishnah, the second opinion of the Mishnah, as to whether you are liable on a Torah level, or whether you're not liable on a Torah level. If you're carrying a corpse, and the question is, why are you carrying it a corpse? So if you carry it and you're carrying the public domain, in Birshus HaRabim, so that's an Isser Hotzah, that's an Isser Daraisa. But the Rashi, if you look in source 20, in Shabbos Tadi Gilman Beis, Rav Shimon Poter, Afilu Mei Shalem, and if you're carrying the corpse out, why? Dehevei Malacha She'ena Tzrich Lagufa. It's a Malacha, we have to define what this is, literally She'ena, that's not needed for itself. For its body. So we have to define what this is. Okay. V'chol melacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, el l'salka me'alav. So have a melacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. So the way Rashi is defining melacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is the goal of caring is that you want to transport it. You know, it's a question, are you going to somewhere or are you going from somewhere? Are you carrying it to somewhere, or you're just removing it from where it is? So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you engage in a malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa, if you carry something, and your goal is, I don't want to carry, my goal is not to carry the corpse. Sorry to use this case, but it's not to carry the corpse because I want to bring it to another place. I just don't want it to remain in the house where I am now, because if it's in the house where I am now and someone walks in who's a kohen, he's not allowed to walk into it, for whatever the reason. In other words, you want to remove this entity of tuma, of ritual impurity, from your house. That is a malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa. And he continues, the ritzona lo ba'ala did not come about because you wanted it. V'lo yotzarech lo, you don't need it. You don't need this corpse. You just want it not to be in your house. Hilkuch la machsheves, malachas machsheves. See, it's not a malachas machsheves, l'Rabbi Shimon. Malachas machsheves is what's forbidden on Shabbos. Not what's a malachas machsheves? So it's a constructive labor. In other words, a malacha, so you're doing one of the 39 malachos, that has a constructive purpose. You're doing it for a reason, a constructive reason, not simply to remove it so it shouldn't be. So they're defining, we're defining caring for a, that's a malachas machsheves, is I want to get something from point A to point B. I want to bring food from my house to your house without it when there's no Eruv. So I'm carrying it, so that would be, if I'm carrying it through a Rishus HaRabim, so that would be that's a regular malacha, malachas machsheves, because my goal is I want to get the food from point A to point B. If I simply want to remove something from my house and put it in the street, so even though that might be an issue, even though that's caring, but that's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa, because that is not constructive. Okay, now Tosfos is a little bit different. Now, and by the way, this is a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says you're still liable. That's the first opinion of the Mishnah, that you're still liable for Malacha Sheni Tzricha Lagufa, and Rabbi Shimon says you're not liable. Now Tosfos gives a slightly different reason than Rashi as to how to define Malacha Sheni Tzricha Lagufa. Rabbi Shimon Poter, source 21, Nira Lurita, Malacha Shinin Shech Lagufa, Kari, Kishosa Malacha, is when you do a Malacha, Ve'ein Tsarich, Laoso, Tsorech, Ke'ein Shehoyu Trichim Lava Mishkan, Ela Yenacher. It's not the same function for which it was done in the Mishkan. Ki atzorech shahaisa malacha nasis bishvilo b'mishkan hu gufa malacha b'sharsho. It has to be, the goal has to be similar to the goal in the Mishkan. So I don't know if we're going to see any differences between two different opinions tonight. We might in the future, but that's a debate between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that it has to be something which is constructive for a positive purpose, and Tosfos says it has to be similar to that which was done in the Mishkan. Ulefiza asi kulo shab. Therefore, everything makes sense. Hotza sameis ein tzarech lemeis uvemishkan hayu tzrichim lachafesim shotziu. So he's saying that when the Mishnah, which says that Rabbi Shimon holds, if someone removes a corpse, he is exempt. It's not liable on a Torah level, so that you don't need the corpse. Again, it comes out the same. But the point is, in the Mishkan, what was the malacha of carrying in the Mishkan? So carrying in the Mishkan is where, let's say, you want to carry certain building utensils, whatever, building materials from point A to point B. So that's what the malacha was in the Mishkan. That's where the Hotza'a was found in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. When you're carrying, building materials or dyes from point A to point B, so therefore simply to remove it because you don't need it, that is not similar to what was done in the Mishkan. So that's a definition of two different ways to understand malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. And the question is, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rabbi Huda? Or do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Again, just to be clear, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're liable on a Torah level. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not necessarily permitted. It's just pater. Pater means you're exempt from a Torah punishment, but it's still rabbinically forbidden. However, maybe if we can knock something down to an Issa Drabanan, so then maybe sometimes there's a great need, so potentially we could be lenient. So the Rambam says in Source 22, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, Kol Osa Malacha B'Shabbos, Afal Pi She'eino Tzarich Lagufa Shel Malacha Chayav Aleha. So the Rambam famously rules like Rabbi Yehuda. He's actually strict. He says you do a Malacha She'ein Tzarich Lagufa, and you're liable. Ketzad, what's the case? Harei She'kava Saner, Bibnei Shehu Tzarich L'Shemen Ola Psila, Kedei shelo yeaved, o kedei shelo yisarev, o kedei shelo yibaka cheres shel derech chayav. Let's say I extinguish a flame on Shabbos, right? I extinguish a flame. So why are you doing that? Because I want to save the oil. In other words, I want to use the oil. I don't want to use all the oil up. I'm ready to go to sleep. I lit a candle before Shabbos so I can see in the old days. And now I want to go to sleep, so I want to save the oil. So I want to blow out the candle. So that's the malacha of kibui, okay? The malacha of kibui in the Mishkan, they would extinguish a coal. You know why they would do that? You know why they would extinguish the coal in the Mishkan? They want to create a hot coal, a pecham. So it's not, the goal was not, The malach of kibboy was not simply in the Mishkan so that you would not have fire anymore. The goal was because you wanted to create coals, hot coals. So they would light a coal on fire, then they blow it out, they would extinguish it, so they would have a hot coal, pecham. So here you are extinguishing the fire, not to create anything, not to create a hot coal. You're not to create a hot coal. You're extinguishing the fire here because you want to save the oil, or you want to save the wick. You don't want the wick to be lost, or that the pottery of the lamp will not crack. These are all malacha shenit tzricha legufa. So the Rambam says, "Bibnei shekiboy malacha, v'rei niskavin lechabos." Your intent is still be to extinguish. That's enough. That's malacha shenit tzricha legufa. You intended to do a malacha in the same form that was done in the Mishkan for a different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan. Again, there's the form, the method, the action that you do, then there's the purpose. So if it's a different purpose or not a constructive purpose, that's a malacha shena tzricha legufa. It's still a malacha because it's the same type of action. You're extinguishing the flame just like you would in the Mishkan. but for a different purpose. Even though you don't need the actual extinguishing, you just want to save the oil. You don't care about what you're extinguishing. You don't care about the any type of coal there. So then, that nevertheless, you're chayev. So the Rambam rules like Rabbi Yehuda. That is, the Rambam is a major posek. You know, when Rabbi Yosef Cairo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, so he writes in his introduction, he says, there are a lot of Rishonim, right? You have the Gemaras in the year 500, and they have all the Rishonim. A lot of rabbis arguing back and forth. He's like, I don't know who to pick. Who am I? I'm Yosef Cairo. Who am I supposed to decide? Do I follow this rabbi, that rabbi, the other rabbi? And he decides, I'm going to pick two out of three. I'm going to take, there are three Gedolei Rishonim, three great Rishonim, the Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi from the 11th century, the Rambam from the 12th century, and the Rush from the 13th, 14th century, and I'm going to pick, if two out of three rules a certain way, I'm going to pick like him. Happens to be that two out of three are Sfardim, Riff and the Rambam. So he always paskin like, for the most part, he paskin like a Sfardic tradition. That's where the Ramah, he writes where Ashkenazi practice difference. But that being said, so my point, I'm just trying to tell you that the Rambam is a major Rishon. But he is in the minority here. He paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but he's in the minority. The Ravid writes in source 23, Rabbeinu Chananel Zal, he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who was one of the last of the Gaonim, a few hundred years before the Rambam. He holds like Rabbi Shimon Shu Pater. And the Rashba, also a well-known Rishon, he was a student of the Ramban. And he said, in source 24, we follow Rabbi Shimon. And so the Shulchan Aruch, he's not definitive here. Because he's aware that most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rambam, but he can't simply discount the Rambam. So he writes in Source 25, he says, Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Shin Tes Zayin Seif Ches, Sha'ar Shratzim, V'hatzidan L'tzorechayav. So let's say that you trap, and that can't be a sheretz, but you trap, it could be, I don't know, maybe you want the dye of the sheretz, I don't know, like an insect. For the most part, people trap insects because they don't want them to bother you or harm you. That's not a constructive purpose. What was shechita done in the Mishkan? Anyone know what shechita was done in the Mishkan? What type of shechita? Right, they would shecht animals for maybe to use the dye. There is a major debate actually. As to when you say that it has to be that the 39 malachos came from the malacha of the Mishkan, do we mean the malachos in the building of the Mishkan, or is it the malachos of the service of the, including the service of the Mishkan? So just as an example, so the malachos of Bishol and Afia are really they're really viewed as the same malacha. So there's a machlokas. Are we talking about, is it really the cooking of the dyes? Right, to make the dyes, like some of the curtains were like Orote Lima Damim, some of the skins were dyed in the curtains of the Mishkan. They had a dye, so you had to cook the dyes, so you had to trap some of these whatever reptiles or whatever, and you had to, or insects, whatever they were, or animals, and use their dye, cook their dyes, and use them for the skins of the and the curtains perhaps of the Mishkan. So that
Argaman, right.
So that's for the building of the Mishkan. Some hold, I think it's Rav Haigon who holds, they were talking about, it might be, if I remember correctly, it might be a Machlos Bavli, a debate between the Bavli and Yerushalmi also maybe. I think Rav Haigon said it's the avod of the Mishkan. So if we're talking about the avod of the Mishkan, so then we could be talking about baking, like the Lechem Hapanim. Right. So similarly, if we talk about shechita, are we talking about shechting the animals who use the dyes? Are we talking about the korbanos? But in any case, so if you shecht, if you kill, trap an animal and kill it for a purpose because you need the animal, then you're liable. Shelo letzarech, if there's no need, ostam, or there's no motive, or it's not for a positive need, or there's no motive at all, pater avol aser. So it's you're exempt from a Torah prohibition, but it's still forbidden rabbinically. Ula Rambam chayev, the Rambam says you're chayev. So the Rambam seems to rule against the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch seems to rule against the Rambam, but he quotes the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch elsewhere, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source 26, Aruchayim Shin Lamedal Sif Chav Zayin, says Gacheles Hamunachas. So here's like an example where it's a big difference whether something is, you know, Derabbanan or Deraisa. So let's say you have a coal that's lying in the B'makom Shirav Nizokim Ba. So let's say there's a coal, it's lying in the public, and some kid's going to walk over, they're going to harm themselves. So can you extinguish the coal if it's in the middle of the street? So he says, Beinim hi shel matechas, beinim hi shel eitz. So according to the dominant view, you can blow it out. Why? Because, again, you're blowing it out, you're extinguishing it, not for the purpose for which it was used, the melacha was done in the Mishkan. Right? The melacha was to create coals. That's not the goal here. You're blowing it out because you don't want to harm people. So it's an Issur Drabanan. And you're allowed to set aside an Issur Drabanan to prevent damage to the public. So that would be good according to the first opinion. V'ramam osir b'shaleit, but the Rambam says, no, it's not good. See, the metal is fine according to the Rambam because you can't make a metal coal. So it's a metal, even the Rambam agrees with the Rabbanan. But if you have a wood that's on fire, so here the Rambam would say that even though you're doing it so it says not to harm people, it's a malacha shenet tzri chalagufa. So it's an Issur Daraisa. You're not allowed to set aside an Issur Daraisa even to prevent harm from people. Obviously, if someone's being harmed right now and they're in a life-threatening situation, so obviously you're allowed to violate even Issur Daraisa. We're talking about you want to take a preventative measure so as not to harm the public. So you can't set aside an Issur Daraisa for that. You can only set aside an Issur Drabanan. So this would be a difference. In other words, there are a lot of leniencies. Once you can knock something down to an Issur Drabanan, then there's a lot you can play with it. Like, you want to knock the things down. So this is a big question. Malacha she'enitz richa legufa. So the Mishnah Brura in source 27, he explains this. So he says that the kiboy, the malacha of extinguishing, that is forbidden on a Torah level, is only to make coals. But just regular extinguishing, that's a malacha shein shech legufa, because you're not doing it to make coals. So that's an issur drabanan, according to the dominant view, according to most of the Rishonim, other than the Rambam. The rabbis did not make a decree in a situation where there'd be damage to the public. But if it would just cause property damage, it's still forbidden. But the Rambam holds that Melacha Shein Shech Legufa is Aser Midaraisa. And the Mishnah Berurah says Halacha Kedei Rishona. So the Mishnah Berurah says we follow the lenient view, and the Yalkut Yosef in the notes, and he says that also we're lenient, and the Mishnah Berurah explains, let's look at source 28. V'lakach nikreis, this is Mishnah Berurah Archaim Reishai and Chesiv Katan Gimel. He gives other examples of malacha she'en tzrich legufa. He says, "Lakach nikreis malacha she'en tzrich legufa," and therefore extinguishing is called a malacha she'en tzrich legufa. Asherei ein tzarich letachlis hamalacha. You don't need the purpose of the malacha that you're doing. Ki ein tzarich lekiboy bishvil atzmo. We don't need the extinguishing for itself. We're not doing it to make this into a hot coal. Like that's the to anything constructed with the coal. Elishu mechabe. You're doing it for some other purpose. You want the sick person to be able to sleep, so you want to extinguish the fire. Or you want to save the oil. And as you're simply trying to remove this, the fire, you're not trying to actually do something constructive with it. You're nervous that let's say it's in an earthenware lamp, you're afraid it's going to break. So again, that's why you want to extinguish it. Or maybe you have some good logs and you don't want to just ruin the logs. You know, you don't need the fire anymore. Again, you're concerned about your property. All these reasons will define your behavior as ein tzarech legufo. Shere eino mechavein letachlis hamalacha atzma, that you don't intend to the purpose of the malacha itself. V'chein hadimyon bishar malachos, and this same is comparable for other malachos. Could go on, for example, hachofer guma ein tzarech alafra. Let's say you dig a pit, and you want dirt. So where are you going to find dirt? You go to your backyard. You dig a hole. And so now you have dirt. What's the malacha when you dig a hole? So he says what? So he said he said it depends. And he says she malacha hi aguma. The malacha is creating the hole. V'chai bebayit pishum bona. So when you're digging in your house, you're building your house. Making a lower level, or you're building a closet. It's a weird closet because it's a hole in your floor, but you're building some kind of shelving or something. But more commonly, let's say you're making a hole, you're digging a hole in your field in the backyard. Some people do this. It's not my area of expertise. People are gardening, right? They garden. So why do they make a hole? It's called plow. It's harisha. They plant on it. So what do you need to plant? You plow, you make a hole, you plow, you turn over the dirt. So that's the constructive action. That's the harisha, right? But here you're not doing it because to improve the ground, to make it suitable for planting. That's what was done in the Mishkan, right? Either to bake bread, because eventually to plant wheat, to eventually make bread for lechem aponim, or it's to plant a vegetation that can be used as dyes. Okay? So that, again, that you're doing it for the purpose of improving the ground, for the purpose of planting. But here, if you're digging a hole because you want the dirt, so that's a malacha shein tzarich legufa. V'chei min de'eino tzarich leguma, since you don't need the pit. You don't need the hole. You simply want the dirt. It's a malacha shein tzarich legufa. V'ein lecha kiboy hatzarich legufo ela keshu mechabe eitzim te'lasus me'am pachamim. And the only case of extinguishing is when you extinguish the wood in order to make coals. Da'alo zet tzarich legufa malacha. Because this is for the purpose of the lacha. Shereiyev shalasus pachamim lo shirichabe. You can't make coals without doing the malacha of extinguishing. Okay? So this is a brief introduction to malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda debate, and a machlokes, do we hold like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda? Seems the dominant view is that we are lenient, and so it's only an iser to Rabbanu. Okay, we'll do one more, another introductory topic tonight. Davar she'ena miskaven. So this is on page 264, source 29. Mesechesh. Any question, Lacha Shein Tzarich Legufa, before I move on? We're good? Okay. Okay, so in Mesech HaShavtav Chav Beis Amad Aleph, so there's this debate between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says the Lacha is not like Rav Shim by Greira, and Shmuel says the Lacha is like Rav Shim by Greira. Greira means dragging. Okay, we're going to see what that is in a second. And then Abayi says that the Rabbah did everything like Rav, except for three things he did like Shmuel, and one of those is... Halacha like Rav Shim, that apparently he followed Shmuel, who said the halacha like Rav Shimon Begreira. So that's what apparently Rav Shimon has a position regarding Greira. Shmuel holds like him, and Rabba holds like Shmuel. Okay, what is Greira? The Tanya, the ruler in the Brisa. Rav Shimon says, Gorer Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal Uvilvad Shlo Yiskaven Lasos Charitz. Rav Shimon says that a person can drag, is allowed to drag, a bed, or a chair, or a bench, as long as he does not intend to make a, what's it called, a furrow or a crevice. Okay? So this is Davar She'ena Miskaven. This is also a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And here it's a little different. Here he's saying it's not that he holds, the lenient position is not saying that it's aser midrabanan, it's actually totally permitted. And as you're allowed to do something that, I guess, now what would the issue be about dragging the bear or the chair? Because you might do a malacha. Your intent is you want to drag the bed to where you are. It might make a significant hole in the ground as you're dragging it. So we're not concerned about that. The Shulchan Aruch says in Source 30, Orachaim Shin Lamed Zayin Saif Aleph, Davar She'eno Miskaven, something which is not intended is permitted. V'hu Shelo Yehe Psik Reshe, as long as it's not an inevitable result. Okay, Psik Reshe. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. That we're going to probably spend more time on it next week. But basically what that means is that as long as there is a likelihood that your action will not result in a definite malacha, then it's permitted. If your action will result in a definite malacha, then it's not permitted. An example of that, again, some don't agree with this example, but like, for example, if you open a refrigerator door when you know the light will definitely go on, so that might be a psik reshe, so that you wouldn't be allowed to do. We're going to see, we'll talk more about it next session, but that's something where it will definitely happen. If I let's say it's very cold outside, and I open up, I mean, you would say, obviously you could open up your door. Okay? You're allowed to open your door to your house to get in. What might happen when you open up your door and all the cold air rushes in? What might happen? It might trigger the thermostat. It might trigger the thermostat. Or even, let's put it this way, you open your fridge. You open the fridge. That also may trigger the thermostat. So
if you keep it for a long time.
No, so the point is, that's a Darshan Miskaven. Since when you open your fridge door, let's say if it won't definitely trigger the thermostat, then if it does, that's okay. Because as long as it won't definitely do that, Rabbi Shimon holds a Darshan Miskaven and it's permitted. Okay? So, right, and that's what he says. Hilchos in Source 30 again. Gorer are the mita kisei v'saf. So bein gomek tan. V'ashelo yuskaven says charitz. Therefore, you can drag a chair, a bed, or a bench, whether large or small, as long as you don't intend to make a furrow. Okay. And the Shulchan Aruch, other examples. Shulchan Aruch Source 31. Arachaim shin lamed vav seif gimel. Mutter leilech al gabe asavim. You're allowed to walk on grass. Okay. Bein lach and bein yevashim, whether it's moist or dry, kevon she'enu miskaven litlosh. Sometimes when you walk on the grass, you might end up pulling up grass. Since you won't definitely do that, even though it might be likely that you're going to do that, but since you won't definitely do that, that's permitted. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav says in Source 32 in Orchaim Shin Lamed Vav Seif Ches, Mutter leilech al gabe asavim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. V'afilu holech yachiv, if you go barefoot. V'afshar she'id b'ku asavim b'kishri etzba'osav. And then your grass will get stuck between your toes. V'yit l'shu, and they'll get cut. Mikom akom, davishem skabhu mutter. I remember Rabbi Willig, I once asked him, you know, sometimes when you try to open, sometimes packages not even a package, but something where there's like a lot of letters, a lot of writing on packaging. And you try to like turn it, or you try to cut through the letters. And he was very lenient on this. And even if it's likely that you're probably going to cut letters, if it's not for sure that you're going to cut letters, if you can really cut between the letters, like sometimes it's very hard, you don't have to worry if you do, as long as it's possible. He's very lenient when it comes to that. In Source 33, in Shemir Shavuz Kachasa, Perek Yudal Tzaif, Memchas, other examples. Mutar adam lechachech bin nachas biseros roshos uzekano. A person can gently smooth the hairs of his head, or for men, his beard. Veino choshesh shema yitlosh b'yam. Because sometimes if you go like this with your hair, sometimes some hair will fall out. If you do it benachas, then it's okay. Because, by the way, sometimes if you're not sure, like maybe it always does it, you can try it not on Shabbos, see what happens. Like sometimes you want, like, no, I'm saying if someone's like nervous about, I don't know, like there's a whole question, can you brush your hair, right? Because that may cause the hair to fall out. So I think, and well, some brushes are like, it depends on the brush, right? So the easy thing would be to do is to use the brush not on Shabbos and see when you brush your hair. If hair will, like, try it 10 times. If hair comes out every time, so that might be psik reishis. If it doesn't come out every time, then that might be okay. Right? So he says here, you're allowed to gently, you know, smooth the hairs of your head, and you're not concerned that you're going to pull out. V'af moti lo l'holti shiari machal nibutzkano. Someone has some food in his beard. He can pick it out. V'ad shi yakbid shalit lo saros. You got to make sure that you don't pull out hairs. And he writes in the notes here about brushing teeth. This is a major question about brushing teeth, using toothpaste, liquid toothpaste. One of the issues related to this is if you brush your teeth, will your teeth bleed? So again, there are other questions with it, but regarding the bleeding question, so it depends. He writes here, Titzel Eliezer says that the bleeding is not an issue. I mean, that would mean it would have to be the case that every time you brush your teeth do bleed, then it might be a problem. He's probably assuming here that even if majority of the times your teeth do bleed, but if some of the times the teeth do not bleed, then there's no issue of brushing your teeth from a bleeding perspective. It could be other issues. That's like another example. And then the last thing here, and that's what he writes. Oh, that's in source 34. He says, "V'chein ein hamitziut kein." The heavy psik reisha shiyot zedam. He says because it's not an inevitable result that is psik reisha, right? And right. So that's really that's Dov Shemis Kaveh. I don't think I can really. It's going to take me like at least a half, like 20 minutes, which is going to go really beyond our time. I think the next session we'll finish. We'll do psik reisha, and we'll do nisasek and grama. It's going to take some time, probably. It's going to go, beyond. So I think we'll stop here, and we'll try to finish this introduction, God willing, next week. Okay.